Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, y'all, it's Chip Patterson from the Cover 3 Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. College football is about to enter its first ever 12-team playoff era, so join me, along with Tom Fornelli, Danny Cannell, and Bud Elliott, as we drop new episodes 5 times a week to close out the year. We've got reactions, bracket breakdowns, and best bets for these matchups with championship stakes. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You knew it would be this guy next. Larkin, the captain, and he's not wasting any time against Reimer. Larkin, between the circles with the deke, scores. Yeah. Same deke.
Dylan Larkin winning it for the Red Wings, who trailed 5-3 with under 10 minutes to go in the hockey game. The Sabres blowing the 2-goal lead. They get no shots in the overtime, and then Detroit wins it in a shootout with Larkin's goal. The goal of the game right there from Detroit and Dylan Larkin, their captain, brought to you by Roswell Park Comprehensive Cancer Center. Early detection of cancer is our goal. Get in the game at roswellpark.org/WGR. We welcome you back here to KeyBank Center. Brian Colziel, Pat Mollicaro with you up on the press box. Paul Hamilton is out downstairs awaiting entry into the Sabres dressing room. We'll get some player reaction from this one. The Sabres blowing a lead, again, 5-3 with under 10 minutes to go. And eventually then it's Kopp and Seider who score. No shots from either team in the overtime. The best chance came from McLeod, who hit the post on a breakaway, couldn't finish it. And Detroit scores twice. Raymond and Larkin end up scoring in the shootout. And it adds up to a 6-5 comeback win for the Wings, who have now pulled into a tie in the Atlantic Division standings or in the overall Eastern Conference standings with the Sabres, who again now lose for the 7th straight time. There's only one team in the entire Eastern Conference that the Sabres have more points than, and that is last place Montreal. If you put up the standings as of this moment, the Sabres are second last in the entire Eastern Conference, only better than Montreal. All right, we'll be getting locker room reaction here coming up in a moment. Pat, though, a 2-goal lead with under 10 to go. It has to get finished.
Yeah, and the unfortunate thing for the Sabres is you just felt the lead was never safe. In a night tonight where they were playing some of their best hockey in the middle period, you've got the 2-goal lead. The third, there wasn't much going on. You got to find a way to just bleed the clock, get it to the victory. You have a power play late in the game, final couple of minutes.
Yeah,
a power play goal is the difference in the game if you score there, and you basically can win the game in that moment, and you're unable to do that. So there's plenty, whether it's not scoring on the power play, giving up the 2 goals, you know, and it's a lot of the same things, right? When you look at some of the goals tonight, it's a Red Wing player beating a Sabre to the spot or being harder physically to keep his spot in front of the crease, and a couple of the goals end up the same way we've seen a lot of these go in.
Yep, and, you know, in a shootout, we obviously haven't seen Reimer in it yet. He did not look comfortable. Definitely both of the moves that were done on him, the deke, he opened up the near side of the net, and that's where Raymond and Larkin both scored on there. We know Lukanen's been so good in shootouts. Usually, you think, hey, it's an advantage for the Sabres because he's been so excellent in it, but tonight you've got a rookie goalie against Reimer there. I mean, it shouldn't be a disadvantage for the Sabres, but man, the goalie on the other side wearing red and white handled himself pretty well.
Yeah, and go back to the overtime. McLeod hits the post, creates the turnover. Mm-hmm. But how many times did the Sabres have potential opportunity? And I know it's overtime. You don't score, and you give the other team basically an on-man rush the other way. But when you're a Sabres team right now that's struggling to do anything right and win a game, I would have liked to have seen a little more aggression, especially Tage Thompson has the puck on his stick, and he doesn't take the initial shot, and it doesn't result in a big chance. Put it on net and let your teammate crash the front for a rebound on a young goalie who's just seeing pucks in the NHL for the first time. Don't do that. It ends up in the shootout.
The power play, again, as you mentioned, had a chance. 2:19 left. And in this game, the Sabres were only able to register one power play shot in this entire game. Now, two attempts only, but still, they only had four shots, the Sabres did, in the third period. That has to be better. I know you are protecting a lead, but for half the period, then at the 10:27 mark, it gets to 5-4. You're not going to stop playing and trying to score there. And the Sabres generated very little in terms of offense.
I know the second's been a problem, but now the third's becoming a problem.
Yep.
Not only are teams scoring, but the Sabres just are not able to get a lot of shots on goal, whether it's the opponent they're playing.
Down to the room first. We'll get back up here in a moment. Tage Thompson is live with Paul Hamilton.
Thanks, Brian. Tage, you guys came, in the second period, you came alive. You got a two-goal lead. What happened in the third?
Stop making plays, just throwing the puck. Looked afraid to make plays and looked like there was no confidence. Just sat back on our heels and let them take it to us. Looked like we were just trying to hold on to a lead instead of taking the game to them like we did in the first and the second, where we were two guys on them, giving them no time and space, transitioning quick and breaking the puck out clean. And I thought in the third we just resorted back to going back and slapping pucks around and just running.
21 shots in 65 minutes. I mean, that kind of speaks to what you just said. There wasn't a lot of confidence or anybody to shoot the team at times.
No, it was, I thought in the ozone, pretty perimeter. Didn't really get inside on them at all. Lost battles. Then I thought in the second we started winning races up the ice, getting chances that way, and I thought we were quick on our transitions. Puck would squirt out into the neutral zone. We'd get it, move it north, and jam it right back down their throats. And I thought in the third it was the flip side of that. We were the ones flipping it out, and they were turning around, jam it back down our throats, staying in our end. And from there, the ice tilts in their favor, and they get one, and then we're on our heels even more and get another one, and now we're scrambling. So that's what
it was. You guys kind of just relax and toward the end and just get out of your own head. You guys look tight late.
Yeah.
I know it's easier said than done.
That's exactly right. We look tight. I think that's a product of not winning. You lose however many in a row, it's easier for you to grip your stick a little tighter, be a little more nervous to make a mistake, and usually you do that, it just compounds things and makes it worse. So it's just got to be a mindset. You just got to want the puck on your stick, want to be the guy that's going to make a play. And I think right now we just look nervous to have the puck, and I think we're just afraid to make mistakes and lose a game. When we have leads, that's what it looks like to me. It's kind of how it feels. So it's just got to be a mindset. And I think, obviously I can do a better job of trying to lead the way and be a little more positive on the bench and obviously lead by example and make better plays on the ice and stuff like that. But, yeah.
Big opportunity there at the end of the third period with 2:19 left. You guys had a power play and really had trouble the whole 2 minutes, it seemed.
Yep. I'd say it's the same principle or philosophy as a 5-on-5 right now. Obviously, things aren't going well, and when that happens, it's easier to grip your stick and be nervous to make plays, and you just got to bear down and do it. You got to win battles, got to have confidence when the puck is on your stick to make that play, and that falls on me. A lot of the power play runs through me, and haven't been good enough, so I got to be better in that aspect. And those are big moments in the game where you can score, and even if you don't score, get some momentum for your team, and we didn't do either. So,
without Rasmus in the lineup, is it something where there's a void in leadership? Guys are looking for someone to lead at this point?
Well, I mean, missing Rasmus is definitely a big piece. He's obviously our best player and captain, and that's for a reason. And with him out, other guys got to step up, and that's me. So, like I said, a lot of this falls on me, and I got to do my part.
Tage Thompson in the postgame. Brian, back to you.
Thank you, Paul. Tage Thompson picked up his 15th of the season on a nice feed from Jason Zucker, which tied the game at 2. That was at the halfway mark of the first period, and then Zucker scored himself. Speaking of Zucker, he's up next live with Paul Hamilton.
Jason, at the end of the second period, you guys turned it on, got a couple of goals, got a lead. What happened in the third to switch it around?
You know, I thought in the third we actually stayed on pressure. I think the last few games we've been sitting back and trying to just, you know, keep a lead. Tonight I thought we pressured a little bit more. We made a couple of key mistakes that ended up in the back of our net in the third that, you know, one off of a face-off where we should be, you know, knowing our duties there, and that's part of that execution that we've been talking about. A couple small plays hurt us.
What's the key to not letting this just hit the confidence too hard and really not overthink the fact that, you know, it's been 7 in a row?
I mean, I think we need to look at it straight in the face, honestly. I think we need to know that it's 7 in a row, and we need to look in the mirror and go get after it. There's no reason to sit here and be like, oh, well, we're doing this or doing that. We've lost 7 in a row. We're not playing well enough. We gotta again, look in the mirror and understand where we're at and at what point of the season we're at here. We got a few games before Christmas. We gotta have a little bit more urgency, and we gotta attack these games and end this right now.
Just only 21 shots. I mean, you had a rookie goalie in there making his debut. Did you just need to pump the puck on net more, I guess?
Yeah, I mean, it's easy to say that, but you know, I thought we were making some good plays. I thought, it's easy to say that. I think we need there's a lot more we got to worry about than just getting more shots.
Yeah, the offensive power guys are handling this just the last few games, couple blown leads, tough one on Saturday.
I don't know. I think there needs to be more urgency out of the guys, understanding where we're at again and realizing, we talked early in this year about, and we, multiple times, not losing 2, not losing 3 in a row. We're at 7, you know, so we're not doing a good job of holding ourselves accountable to that, and we got to be better.
You guys were much more detailed in the D zone, you know, earlier this season. There was a clear identity. Do you feel like some of the details have slipped as you guys maybe are focusing more on offense and focusing on scoring, because that was an issue there for a little bit where you guys weren't scoring as much as you'd like?
Yeah, I mean, it's, again, even when we weren't scoring, our focus wasn't on scoring. It was on playing a full 60-minute game and playing to our system and executing our system to a T every game, every shift. So I don't think we ever really turned our focus to scoring. I think we had a couple of days here of focusing a little bit more on D zone and trying to shore that up. I think we were better tonight, but ultimately we gotta have a more well-rounded game for a full 60 minutes.
Jason, there's a bunch of guys in this room who have gone through this. There was an 8-game losing streak a couple of years ago. There was a bunch of losses at the end of last year. Do you just get the sense that, you know, the guys who have been here just get tight in these situations, and now you're at, like you say, you're at 7, and we've seen this before here with a bunch of these guys?
Every team in the league's done it, and pretty much every year has done it. So it's not just the Buffalo Sabres. It's every single team in the league. And
7-8? I mean, that's a lot.
I lost 114 in a row in Minnesota. We've all done it. The entire league has done it. It's not a Buffalo Sabre thing. It's a National Hockey League thing. And you got to learn how to get out of it. It doesn't mean it's okay. I mean, you got to learn how to get out of it, and you got to learn how to play your game. And, you know, we got to be better. And it starts with me as one of the veteran guys here, you know, doing more individually to help all the guys here. I'll put a lot of onus on myself. But this isn't a losing streak like, oh, it's the Buffalo Sabres. No, this happens. But it doesn't mean that it's okay. We gotta be better, and we got to fix it.
Jason, earlier this season you were put on the power play, and it kind of jolted the unit. What do you think has gone awry in this last stretch?
I think it's about simplicity and execution. I think our breakouts are, I don't know. I think we're not executing well enough. you know, supporting the puck enough, winning those little puck battles, getting pucks to the net. I think when we were at our best, we were shooting pucks and creating chances off of rebounds and those things. So I think, you know, we got to get back to the simple shooting the puck, getting rebounds and creating chances off it.
Thanks, Jason. Thank you. Jason Zucker on the post game. Brian, back to you.
All right, Jason Zucker, who I thought was Buffalo's best player tonight, ended up being the first star. 2 goals and an assist. A real nice feed to Thompson for Thompson's goal. Zucker scoring his 6th and 7th of the season. And a bright spot for the Sabres tonight, Pat, in this loss was the play of Zucker.
And I agree with everything he just said to Paul Hamilton and everybody downstairs in the locker room. The thing I'll disagree with is I don't know how much more Jason Zucker could do. Yeah. I think he is one of the players that is stepping up and trying to lead by example. And I don't know about in the locker room, but at least on the ice, I don't know there's more he can do. And I that's a compliment to him. I respect that he feels he can do more because that's what I want a veteran to come into this locker room and do. But realistically, he's done all he can.
I mean, hockey is different from other sports. I mean, if we're talking basketball, like, he can play the whole game if they feel like you need to. You can't in hockey. Right. 3 to 4 lines have to play the whole game. You have to rely on, you know, 15 to 20 players every single game. And if not everybody's in, you're going to get exposed. And if you're not as deep as other teams are, like the Sabres are, it can come back to bite you very quickly. Tonight, they had, as he said, some mistakes. It bit them. They did not have Luka-Pekka Luukkonen in. This was definitely James Reimer's weakest night of the three that he's played so far. I mean, at the very least, even if you think if somehow, you know, in the shootout, if you have Luukkonen back there, you might win this game. But they had Reimer. He didn't look good in the shootout. I thought he should have stopped the Seider shot that ended up tying at 5-5. He's at the circle there, under the bar, not even really even over in time, let alone kind of look stunned that there was space. He kind of looked back like, ooh, I didn't have that covered there.
Yeah, you could see the reaction right away. And a goalie, they know when a goal's in, and you just could tell he knew he just got beaten to that spot.
Yeah. So, I mean, yes, there's no Luukkonen tonight. There's no Dahlin tonight. But, you know.
You had a 2-goal lead in the third period.
You still should.
That.
You still, right. You still should win when you're up 5-3 with under 10 to go in the game. And, again, you are giving points to teams. Now, do I think Detroit is ultimately a playoff team? No, I think they're garbage. I do. I think there was a lot of that on display here tonight. They have terrible goaltending, and I think their offensive players, minus a few, are very, very inconsistent. Raymond seems to score every time against the Sabres. He's excellent against Buffalo. But even Dylan Larkin, who's frustrated, we've seen rumors on social media about, you know, is he want out? Do they, are they, you know, would they explore moving him? Well, I mean,
right, Detroit.
He obviously comes through with the game winner tonight.
Yeah, they're supposed to be a playoff team last year. That's why Patrick Kane signed with them midway through last year. Comes back this year. You've got DeBrincat and you've got a lot of offensive firepower. It's just not coming through. This is the game you have to win. I know you're tied now in points, but a game 28 games in, you need to find a way to win, stay in front of Detroit, and you've got a Rangers team coming here on Wednesday. That's beatable too, but that's another hill you've got to climb.
That's right. Sabres fall in a shootout, 6-5. The losing skid has now hit 7, and the Red Wings have moved into a tie in the standings with the Sabres. Only Montreal is worse. Lindy Ruff is going to the media room. Let's take it there live.
Mike, we made some good plays that allowed us to score, like sometimes the next play. I thought 2 or 3 plays right at the start of the game that we could have shot. Was a little bit of a negative, but I thought at the same time we made some plays that allowed us to score, you know, a couple nice goals. I thought coming in on the angle a couple times, we had traffic, we could have got it there. We had a couple blocked, and then we went behind the net on a couple and waited too long, and it all closed down on us. So there was opportunities to get more pucks there for sure.
The second period has been scrutinized as of late, but after that first goal a minute in, how did you like the play from then on out?
That's like I said, that for me was kind of a telling point again, where we've had tough second periods, but then you bounce back and play the period you play. I felt pretty good about where we were at. We make a mistake. We lose a net front battle on the fourth goal, and it's in the back of your net.
It is that your group can really play the way that you want them to play, do all the right things at 5-on-5, and there's just these lapses. You know, they happen at different different times in games, but, you know.
I'm just going to use the line I've used with you guys. You've got to be – they've got good lines too. Sometimes you got to be really comfortable being in an uncomfortable situation, and that's what we're in right now. We're in a real hard time that you have to get comfortable with, that you have to decide, I have to be a guy that can make a difference. I have to show composure under a lot of stress, and it might be one guy on the ice that's showing it, might be a couple guys. I thought we showed some pretty good composure in our D zone a couple times when we got caught tired, which was a lot better than the previous game. But you got to be comfortable there. You got to be able to handle the pressure of the game. And there's a couple times with their best line, you ice it, their best line comes in the ice, you know you can be in a little bit of trouble.
Coach, what's the biggest contributing factor to that hard time?
Losing hockey games. That's what creates hard times.
Thanks, guys.
All right, quick stuff there from Sabres head coach Lindy Ruff. His post-game press conference brought to you by Steve Foley Law. If you've been injured, it's time to get serious. Time to call Steve Foley Law. We bring it back up here to the press box. 6-5 shootout victory for the Red Wings. The Sabres blow a 2-goal lead and now have lost 7 in a row. They'll close out this homestand with the New York Rangers. It's amazing how just 2 weeks and a few days ago, the Sabres came off of winning 3 in a row in California. They were sitting in third place in the Atlantic Division. And I remember listening to Shope and Bulldog on our flagship on WGR on the way to KeyBank Center. They're interviewing GM Kevin Adams, talking about all the things that are going well. And Kevin said, this is a huge stretch coming up. 7 of the next 8 are at home. They had 2 in a row at home, then that one road game on Long Island, and then 5 in a row here at home. They've got 1 left on the Rangers on Wednesday. And the Sabres have not won any of them. Lindy Ruff said a preseason goal for this team was to reestablish home ice advantage. They're garbage in this building. They get nothing out of playing in this building. Teams are not fearful of coming in here. In fact, you would think, oh, finish, you know, you got to finish strong against this team here to have any chance. No. They give you opportunities to finish strong to come back in this building. Even on nights when the Sabres play well, they find ways not to score. Even the home opener against the Kings, they played well for like 50 minutes. Scored 1. Even the game coming off of the California trip against Minnesota, which maybe has been their best game of this 7-game losing streak. Lukanen only lets in 1. They lose 1-0. They couldn't score. They found other ways to lose, including the all-time disaster against Colorado. When you're up 4-0 and you blow a 4-goal lead at home for the first time ever in over 50-plus years. So they've found a whole bunch of different ways to accumulate this. But, man, how has this swung so fast? Not to say that I sat here and thought, oh, they had it all figured out, because I've been down this road now with this team for many, many, many years. To realize, oh, they're in a playoff spot. They're in third place on November 23rd. Things were looking good. The GM says, look at this, 7 of the next 8 are at home. This is huge here. We can take a stranglehold maybe on being in the spot where we want to be. Instead, now they've lost 7 straight. And can you imagine here they lose 5 straight at home here or 7 straight at home coming up here? How flipped the script has been. They were 3 points out of first. The Leafs had 26 points. The Sabres had 23. Toronto was in first. The Sabres were in third on November 23rd. They were 3 points out of first place. And now, fast forward, 2 weeks and 2 days later, there's only one team worse. That's Montreal, and you're 2 points, or now 3 because of the loser point tonight. You're 3 behind, 3 ahead of them. That's it. In 2 weeks and 2 days, you flipped from 3 out of first to 3 out of last. That's an incredible swing. But with what we're watching, it's not surprising that they're finding ways to lose. They are just playing very inconsistent. Lindy has said they're not comfortable with being in pressure moments, and you're watching more of it again here tonight. 6-5, Detroit wins it. Brian Colziel here on the post game. We're going to talk to Paul Hamilton next. We've got to say goodbye to all of our local affiliate stations. If you want to keep listening to the post game, you can go to WGR550.com or on the Odyssey app. And for all of you listening in your car on your way home or on WGR, we appreciate you, your drive home. Brought to you by Paddock Chevrolet, with you for the extra mile. Another blown lead at home. The Sabres have lost seven straight. Detroit wins at 6-5. More postgame. Paul Hamilton's take is next. This is the Buffalo Sabres Radio Network.
The zone now. He's turned the puck over at the line, and back the other way comes Comfort. Comfort, partial break in on Reimer, and Reimer stayed with him to the far post, and it goes wide and into the corner.
Save of the game right there from Dan Dunleavy. James Reimer, brought to you by your Upstate Honda dealers. For great deals on the entire Honda lineup, visit your local Upstate Honda dealer today. 6-5, Red Wings come back to defeat the Sabres, who have lost seven in a row. The Rangers are up next on Wednesday at 7 o'clock, and of course we'll have that game for you right here on the Sabres Radio Network. That game, by the way, if you are one that watches it, TNT, I believe, right? Yes, Pat, okay. So Dan and Rob only right here on our flagship WGR and along the Sabres Radio Network. All right, yeah, that game again, 7 o'clock, we'll have the Steve Foley Law pregame starting at 6. Let's get some final stats, and then we go down to Paul Hamilton. Shots in the third, 12-4. Detroit, shots in the overtime, 0-0. It ends up 31-21 in favor of the Wings in this game. The winning goaltender is rookie Sebastian Kosa. Pat, interesting stat with him, right?
Yes, just to see a couple of moments ago, he's the first goalie in NHL history to pick up his first win coming in relief and winning via the shootout, according to Sportsnet stats a couple of moments ago. First goal in NHL history to win his NHL debut via shootout in relief.
Okay. So interesting there. But the Sabres put four shots on him in the third, none in the overtime. And they got one on him in the shootout from Tuck that kept Buffalo alive. Power plays. The Sabres had one with 2:19 left, could not score. They had one shot on the entire night in their power play attempts. 0 for 2. The Wings were 0 for 4. That's your Dynabrade.com power play update powered by Dynabrade Tools, proudly made here in Buffalo. As I said, Kosa gets the win, 12 saves. He went 2 for 3 in the shootout. Reimer the loss, 5 goals against on 31 shots and 1 of 3 in the shootout. Individually, so far in this one, Bo Byram, 5 block shots. Owen Power, 4 block shots. In terms of shots on goal, Jason Zucker had 4 shots in a 3-point effort tonight. That's your final stats brought to you by Level Financial Advisors, helping you retire better. Visit levelfa.com. Down to the media room now, where Paul Hamilton is. Paul, a 2-goal lead with under 10 minutes to go, and they cannot hold on. And now the Sabres' losing streak has reached 7 games. What happened in those final 10 minutes?
We had this conversation once before. It wasn't this year. Remember last year in Washington, where we had this conversation?
Yep.
Where they were playing a team right around them in the standings, looking like they were going to pick up 2 points, giving the other team none. And then next thing you know, in that one, they gave up the goal, I think, within the last minute or close to it. And then wound up giving up 2 points and getting one. And here we are. It happens again to a team. It's not as bad if it's a Western Conference team, but if it's the team right around you, where you were within 4 minutes of winning a hockey game, and you don't, and then you got a 2-minute power play with 2:19 left, and you didn't even get the puck in the zone, and then there's no desperation in overtime until you get a breakaway and you hit a post. There's no shots at all in overtime. The two teams basically played keep away because they were afraid to give the other team the extra point. And then you got 2 goal scorers coming in a shootout. Yeah, 3, but you got 2 goal scorers coming in a shootout, and neither one score. And then the third one does, but Detroit got 2. And you handed them 2 points when they shouldn't have gotten any. I'm glad Tage Thompson was honest about the whole thing because he's absolutely right. They looked afraid. They were back on their heels. I don't think they played well in the defensive zone. I don't think they played at all in the offensive zone. You turn the game around in the second period because you're making plays and you're going to the net and you're playing fast. And then all of a sudden you decide, you know, it just flips on you. And then, it's like he's right. They act like they don't want the puck. But we've watched this and talked about this for 2 years now. And, you know, it's 2 years and a quarter of a season that we've had to basically watch the same core. You know, some of the other guys are different around them now. But we watch this time and 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 time again, where they get tight, they don't want the puck, they're afraid to make plays, they sit back, they turn it over, it's in their net. You know, you look at 7 losses in a row, how many games in a row have they had the lead and blown it? You had a 2-goal lead in the third period. Against Colorado, you had a 4-goal lead or a 3-goal lead in the third period. You had a 4-goal lead in the first period. And you get 1 point out of those 2 games. It's just, and you can see it coming. I mean, I'm just sitting there going, this ain't going to work. Sitting back and being afraid to make plays, and nobody wants the puck on their stick, and they don't know, you know, who's going to do what. This isn't going to work. It didn't. And you've given them a point that you had no business giving them. Pat just talked about a rookie goalie who sat there for 45 minutes and saw 14 shots in 45 minutes playing in his first NHL game. That's all you could muster on him. And he gave you you scored 2 goals on him. But still, in 45 minutes, he basically stood there and watched. Colorado changed goalies. They got a goalie stood there and watched for the rest of the game after they changed goalies, after Buffalo scored 4 in the first 11 and a half minutes of the game. Next guy came in, first game with Colorado since being traded there, and stood there and watched. He didn't have to make a decent save till Buffalo pulled the goaltender in the third period, and he had to stop Kulik in the slot. That was the only decent save he had to make the whole time he stood there. They just stopped playing. They're scared to play. I've said this before. This is they just are not mentally tough. They're not able to get them through these situations. Lindy Ruff is right. You have to be comfortable playing uncomfortable. How does he get them there? How does he get a group that's scared to play when things get tight and have been for 2 years? How does he get them over that? Maybe you have to realize they are who they are. At some point, you just got to say they are who they are. That's who they are. Yeah, maybe they did play with pressure in the World Junior Championship and won gold medals and the rest of it. But they don't do it in the NHL. And it's not like it just happens now and then. It's happening all the time. And it doesn't get any better. And they just... I've watched this team panic for 2 years when things get tight. I've watched this team play very well for 2 years, but not long enough. You know, what does 7-2 mean after this now, after you've lost 7 in a row? So what does 7-2 mean? Nothing. What does 4-1-1 mean after you lose 3 in a row after you're done with it? What is going out west and taking 3 straight games in California for the first time ever? I mean, this team, when things go well, boy, they can all jump on the bandwagon and play well. But as soon as it turns, they're done. They just get nervous. They don't want the puck. They're afraid. They just start chasing. They get back on their heels. There's nothing coming offensively. And I don't have an answer for you. I don't know how they get over it. I would have thought, and maybe I'm wrong. I'm not a psychologist. But I would have thought if there was any inkling for them to get out of this, they would have found it at some point in the last 2 years. I don't know. Maybe it takes 4 years to get over it. I don't know. I'm thinking they don't get over it. I'm thinking it is who they are. And you got to come to that realization and act accordingly.
Paul, Jason Zucker, who was outstanding tonight, first star, 3 points, 2 goals. He said the losing skid is not a Buffalo Sabres thing. He says it happens elsewhere, too. He mentioned a 14-game losing streak when he was with Minnesota. But he says it doesn't mean it's okay by any means. How many people do you feel like can handle how Zucker can handle this here, that it's not okay? It seems like, as you are mentioning here, almost all of these players just – this is kind of just what happens, and they're not able to snap out of it. And once they get caught in it, it's like a spiral and the tidal wave that gets over them. Then they all of a sudden can't play properly or can't play their best.
Yeah, he's not wrong. It does happen to other teams, yeah. But it doesn't happen multiple times in a year and just keep happening over and over again, where just when it looks like you're starting to make hay and starting to maybe become a good team and starting to play the way the coach wants you to play and everything, you know, things are rolling, you're defending well, you're scoring goals. When they were 7-2, they were doing both. They were defending well. They were one of the top teams in the league defensively. They were, I think, fourth in the league in scoring in those 9 games. Their power play was clicking. Their penalty kill was number one in the league. So we, for 9 games, we watched it and thought, all right, are they finally getting it? You know, they're playing well. They look like good hockey players. They're playing well. But guess what? Out comes the losing streak. And then you can't get out of it. And every game, as I told you in the pregame, every game you lose, it gets harder and harder to get out of it. And, you know, then they have self-doubts. And as Tage Thompson says, he's got to be better. He's got to be able to lead them. You know, the captain's not there. You're one of the captains with an A on your sweater. You know, you have to go out there and maybe put the team on your back and do something, you know, out of the ordinary to help your team. Zucker does that. Zucker put the team on his back tonight. I mean, he had a post in the third period and had a chance in the slot. He's the only guy that had chances on his kid, you know, and the kid made a great save on one and he hit the post on the other. You know, but you get a chance in overtime. Again, that's 2 games now in this streak that you could have won in overtime, having a guy in on a breakaway. And Tage Thompson, in the game that he was in, he couldn't score. Looked like he put a pretty good move on the goaltender, but couldn't score. McLeod steals the puck, makes a nice play, walks in, and again, puts a nice move on and hits the post.
Yep. No, opportunities are there for sure. All right, Paul. Well, I was mentioning before you joined us here, the Sabres were sitting in third in the Atlantic. Kevin Adams said to Chopin Bulldog on our flagship station on WGR, hey, this is a huge stretch here. 7 of the next 8 are at home. Paul, Wednesday they're on the verge of possibly losing every single one of those games, including even the road game in between there. But the 7 of 8 at home stretch, this could have really been an opportunity to not only establish home ice advantage, but really kind of keep going what they did so well in California and keep themselves in a very, very solid spot in the standings. And that has obviously flipped tremendously here in 2 weeks and 2 days.
There's one way they can look at this. They've lost 7 in a row and they haven't taken themselves out of the race. You know, they're still within striking distance.
They're 3 points back of the Rangers as of this moment, who hold the final playoff spot.
Right. They haven't taken themselves out of the race as bad as this has gone. So that means if somehow you start another streak of 7-2 or whatever that might be, you can get yourself right back into it again. They're right there to do that. But what have you or I or anybody seen from this core group in the last 2 years plus 28 games, I believe, here? What have we seen that would tell us that we're going to see that? I've seen nothing to tell me that this group is capable of doing that. And maybe they'll prove me wrong. You know, I don't have a crystal ball. I don't know. But I've seen nothing to say, well, guys, just sit tight because they're going to get it. I know they are. They're a good team. They're good players. They're going to figure it out very fairly quickly and get themselves right back in it. I haven't seen anything in 2 years and 28 games that have told me that that's what I'm going to see. If I'm wrong, I'll say so.
Paul, thank you so much for your work tonight. Appreciate it. We will talk here Wednesday night with the Rangers in town.
All right, sounds good.
All right, Paul Hamilton down in the media room. Sabres fall 6-5, losing 7 straight. They'll try to break the streak Wednesday against the Rangers. That one, again, TNT, so Dan and Rob only right here on WGR and along the Sabres radio network. Jordan Greenway returned from injury tonight. He played 14:39, registered 3 hits, had a block shot, and also, obviously, a huge impact on Zucker's first goal, which made it 3-2, a perfect screen right in front of Ville Husso, who was in goal at the time. No Rasmus Dahlin, though, still out with back spasms, sounding like maybe not going to still be ready for Wednesday. Lindy Ruff said he's hoping for the weekend. Sabres have road games in Washington and Toronto on Saturday and Sunday, respectively. There's your injury report brought to you by the Orthopedic Center at Catholic Health St. Joseph Campus. Go with Joes. All right, before we update you on the standings, we've got a couple of scores to get to. Let's go back to Pat for Around the League.
Thanks, Brian. It's brought to you by Fiegel, Carr, and Joyce, your border attorneys. There were only 2 other games in the league tonight. Buffalo's next opponent, the Rangers, on the wrong end of a 2-1 final. Taylor Hall, the game-winning goal for Chicago in the second period. So the Rangers will come to town with another loss on their ledger. And their former captain, Jacob Trouba, also falling in defeat tonight with Anaheim. The Ducks lose to the Canadiens 3-2 in a shootout, meaning Montreal gains 2 points and are within 1 of the Sabres entering Tuesday's play. So Montreal 3-2 in the shootout there. And also one note from Week 14 of the NFL, within a quarter of it coming to a close with the Cowboys and Bengals tied at 20 apiece. Joe Burrow, 26-36, 274, and 2 touchdowns on the night, 1 to Jamar Chase, the other to Chase Brown. And on the other side of things, Cooper Rush, 14 of 23, 160, and 2 TDs as well. CeeDee Lamb with 1, Brandon Cooks the other. And now they're going to about 10 minutes to go in the fourth quarter. Bengals about to kick off after tying the game up at 20 apiece, Brian.
That game, by the way, if you want to listen to it after we're done here in just a moment, it's on our sister station, The Bet, 1520. So with Montreal's win, as you said, they now have 25 points. So they're within 1 of the Sabres. So we mentioned it 2 weeks ago. They were in 3rd place in the Atlantic, 3 out of 1st. And now they're 1 out of last.
And you've got the team that's in the playoff spot right now here on Wednesday.
Right. So the positive of that huge negative that Paul mentioned, you're 3 points back of that final playoff spot, who you play Wednesday. And they're reeling. Mm-hmm. 2 reeling teams coming in. Rangers are 2-8 in their last 10.
Look at all the teams around the Sabres. There are a lot of gettable points left on the table that would have probably put you right where you want to be.
Yeah. I mean, if I'm Lindy Ruff, that's how I'm spinning it. Be like, look, boys, this is awful. We have to get out of it. And look at the bright spot here. We beat the Rangers tonight, and this is the team that's holding the final playoff spot. We can be within 2 of them. I'm sorry, within one of them if we can beat them in regulation. Mm-hmm. So that's how you got to spin it for Wednesday. Lukanen's back. Doesn't sound like Dahlin unless maybe feels really good. And then they go on the road for 3 games. But this homestand has been a disaster. They've lost 6 of them with 1 to go here coming up. All right, that'll do it here from KeyBank Center. I want to thank everybody for listening. I want to thank our crew, TJ Luckman, our network producer, back in our Amherst studios. Thank you, TJ. Pat Malacaro and Paul Hamilton here at KeyBank Center. Tom Matty is our engineer. And for our game announcers, Dan Dunleavy and Rob Ray, I'm Brian Colziel. Again, the final in a shootout. Detroit comes back and wins it 6-5 over the Sabres. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you Wednesday night with the Rangers in town right here on the Buffalo Sabres Radio Network. Good night, everyone.